Your computer's broken already?
Well, it's either that or I don't know how to use it.
Okay, I'm going to go with option B.
Vegas odds on that are much better.
Yeah, I'm going to take option B. I'm going to kick your ass and get the $200.
I don't know what to say to that.
Seriously? My cousin Vinny? You don't know it?
No.
You see, okay, wait, hang on. I thought you're playing along. You don't know the movie My Cousin Vinny?
Well, I know the movie. I've seen it once. I'm not.
Hey, little Yankee wuss boy, I got your $200.
I saw it when I was like 14.
How do I know that's not just a bunch of ones with a 10 wrapped around it?
Again, all lost on me.
I think you got homework ahead of you, man.
Okay.
All right. Well, fine. I feel bad doing a show now, but do you want me to wait while you watch the movie?
Yeah, I've got it on right now. Al Pacino's in it, right?
That's right. Hello and welcome to episode 442 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
What's life like in the five, Adam?
It's great.
Why is it great? It's weather, right?
It's amazing. I don't even remember. I don't even think it rains here.
Yeah, I know. I'm in that mode too, where it's like it's been really great for a while. Thunderstorms, a lot of thunderstorms, because it got really hot fast. But I'm like, yeah, this is great. It's never been cold here. And then I remember talking on the show a while ago. All I did was complain.
Well, you've been complaining for a while, so this is news to me that the weather's nice there, because I can't remember the last time you weren't complaining about the weather.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago. It's been a couple of weeks. Of decent stuff. So
okay. All right. Well, yeah. We're glad to hear it. For those of you in the United States or other parts of the world that have heard of Vancouver and just think, oh, that's the place where it rains all the time, you're wrong. It hasn't really rained since April, so I think right. We're good here. Everyone should come visit here, because it's the best place.
It is. Yeah, pretty much. I would say August, September is your best bet. July probably going to be good. August, September is the wheelhouse of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. There's a little travel log.
All right. Everyone updated. Get your summer plane tickets to Vancouver.
Do it.
Yeah.
That can't be cheap flying there in the summer, is it?
Probably not, but it's awesome. Yeah. It's well worth it.
I'm going to find out. Maybe next year. It might be next summer. My kids want to go. My wife wants to go. Lufthansa really wants me to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in. They're already got their claws into me. So, yeah. My wife being a teacher, we have to go during what's known as the high season.
Right.
As in the high. You're on vacation with everybody else? Okay, yeah. Prices are high. That's going to happen. So they really, really gouge you. It's like double. It is about double from what I pay. Like when I fly back in Vancouver in November to Vancouver, November to summer, the change is it's approximately twice.
Sweet.
But and then in November I get to buy the one ticket for half price, and then four tickets in the summer for double.
Right. Yeah. No, yay. That's a good deal for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it works out for me. All right, buy your plane tickets on Amazon, though. I can't believe you can't buy tickets on Amazon yet. You probably can't.
Coming soon.
I think Bezos is missing a trick here.
Yeah.
Because you can do Google Flights where you don't actually buy it on Google Flights, but Amazon should start selling plane tickets. Get on it, Amazon Air.
Wow. Trademark.
When you do, no, I'm sure they have that. I'm sure they have that dialed in. But when you do, click through our site. Help us out. All right, what's going on, Adam?
Just the usual, you know, keeping it real.
Everything.
Yeah. All things. End of school, wrapping up, school for the kids. This is, the second to last week. So one more week of school, when you're hearing this. So that's exciting. All their fun field trips and stuff. Sarah is at, you know, one of these, school goes to camp for a couple of days. So she's doing that. She comes back today. She's been gone for a couple of days.
Camp Kakawa.
I don't think that's what it's called, but it's something along those lines where they, you know, do canoeing and archery mm-hmm. and all fun outside stuff for.
Oh, is it still called Outdoor Ed?
I don't think so, because this is elementary school. She's in grade six, so I don't
that's what
think
I did.
Seems like that's a high school thing. They call it going to camp.
Right. Okay. That's some seriously original branding there.
Yeah. So two nights.
We had Outdoor Ed. We had Outdoor Ed in grade. We went in grade seven. It was a big fiasco because it got canceled in grade six for some reason. And then we went in grade seven, and we actually went to a place called Camp Kakawa, Kawkawa.
Gotcha.
Out towards Chilliwack, past Chilliwack, or somewhere out there. Most of the listeners think I'm just making names up.
Yeah, because that name seems inappropriate.
Chilliwack, Kakawa, Medicine Hat. We played this yesterday at the baseball park with some of our American/German friends. I was like, all right, you let me know when I'm making up it'll be a Canadian city. It'll be a city, or I'll be making it up. You tell me. We started listing off the ones, and they're like, that can't be a place. I'm like, yeah, right. Medicine Hat, actual place. So, we went through a bunch of them.
Oh, it must have been a fun game.
So for nobody but me and the other Canadians, yeah.
Okay.
South Battleford.
Oh, man.
Nope, it's North Battleford, you're thinking
Oh,
of.
Sorry.
Yeah. My boy got to throw out the first pitch last week.
Ooh, at the Tübingen Hawks game?
At the home opener.
Wow.
And, he was supposed to do it in May, because our home opener was actually mid-June, which is strange. It was supposed to be beginning of May, but it got rained out. And so we had it last Saturday.
Wait. What gave him the right to throw the first pitch?
He's the youngest member of our organization.
Okay, so that's the criteria.
Well, in the past we've invited other people, like some Olympic athlete did it last year. she did. I'm not joking.
No, I know, It's just a slight step down to your 4-year-old or five. How old is he? Five?
He's five.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sorry.
You've heard of him. Have you ever heard of Jackie something? I forget her name now.
Joyner Kersey?
Not her. Different Jackie. Jackie Robinson, maybe. I forget, but
okay.
No, her dad was in the Olympics, and then she's in the Olympics or something like that, in the 5,000 meters or something. I don't even know. Who cares? Is that still an event? Regardless, she threw it out last year, and then they said that they wanted a Hawk to do it, and so he was so excited. Like, he was thrilled. We went and practiced, like,
out the night before in the front yard. Got to practice.
Yeah. He practiced his fastball, and we went out, and he took his unit, got his full new pants.
Just for this.
No. I had already bought him some new pants because he was outgrowing his old ones, and so I got him some of those and my old stirrups, and he has his own uniform. I bought him a uniform last year, so he could have number 8. And then I went and practiced, and he put his uniform, he folded it all up and put it in a pile the night before, so he could come downstairs and make sure he got his uniform on to come out and do it. And we did. We ran out there, and the kid. Obviously, in front of the mound, didn't throw from 60 feet because he's 5.
Right.
And but kid threw an absolute strike right down the chute.
Nice. So, did you get video of it?
My wife did, but somebody, of course, stepped in front of her to take a picture, and it wasn't a good picture. So that's the worst part. Guy stepped in front to take a lousy photo.
Yeah, so, that hurts.
Yeah, we didn't really need a video. I don't know.
It'd be fine. You need a video. You definitely.
Yeah,
need
no, I. You're right. I'll have to reenact it.
Okay.
But anyway, so I got a couple of photos. So there was a photographer who was there shooting for the newspaper. He's a freelance guy, and so he snapped a couple of photos. So you can see one. There's one of my son throwing the first pitch.
Yeah, saw that.
That's in tight, and then he snapped one after of him and I. I was the catcher. I went and caught. You can see I have the catcher's glove on there.
Right.
So obviously the guys are like, oh, but you're not a catcher. Like, yeah, I'm not going to miss this though. I'm probably going to catch the first pitch for my son, guys. Like, what do you think? Like, I'll be okay. And he snapped a photo in there. He kept the ball. I got all the guys on the team to sign it as a memento. And I want to give a shout out to the photographer, a guy named Axel Grundler. Somewhat local photographer, and he first time out to a Hawks game. He said he'd be back, and we'll put a link to his website. So I want to go check out his stuff. He shoots all kinds of sports stuff. And so he shot the one of my son. That is with the 400 mil f/2.8 lens. So that's why the background is just butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much context there as just as it is, but and then the other one was with the 24-70 at, I think it was 24-70, yeah. Probably racked out at about 70 mils. I forget, he's got the EXIF data there.
Okay, I think it's all good, yeah.
24-70 at 70 mils, he shot that.
Yeah.
So anyways, you can see the look on my son's face, he was just thrilled. He was mostly upset that he only got to throw one.
Right.
He thought he was going to get up there and maybe throw a couple of innings, but didn't happen. Yeah. So, but this week it did. We had a crazy baseball week. Just to give you the update, we had we ended up winning both those games. If you're winning after seven innings by 10 runs, that's it. The game's over instead of playing nine. And so we played doubleheader and we won both those games by the what we call like the mercy rule.
Yeah.
Or the run spread, we call it. And then we played yesterday. Yesterday was a holiday, Thursday. And so we played the makeup game from the rain out from the original home opener. We played yesterday. So we played two games yesterday. Again, 11-0, 10-0. So finish those games after, shorten those games up. And then again, we play again tomorrow, doubleheader.
Wow, a lot of baseball. So,
a lot of baseball, six games in a week, which is not normal here, but pretty good times. But that meant that yesterday, you know, we needed some pitching. And so game one, I got the start on the hill.
Nice.
Yeah, I've not started. I don't think I've ever started a game, actually, if that's in my life. That might have been my first start ever.
And?
At 45. Yeah, I got yanked after four, which I was not happy about, but I gave up one hit, two walks, and no one got past second base. So left the game with, I think it was like a 3-0 lead. I was not happy about, but the coach figured he didn't want to burn me out.
Right. Yeah, you're old, so.
Yeah, I could have gone two more innings, though. I could have gone, we ended up playing seven because we blew him out, but so I could have gone seven innings.
So, but maybe you'll get another start after this performance.
I hope so. I'm by no means a pitcher. We discovered that in Switzerland, but you know what I love the most about pitching, because my thing is, when it comes to pitching, I'm not going to dazzle you. I'm not going to get a lot of strikeouts. What I am going to do is pitch to contact in a big field and let the fielders make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I do pound the strike zone. I don't throw a lot of balls. And I work very quickly, meaning, you know, catcher throws the ball back, I'm set, ready to throw that next pitch, like, immediately. And so when you play like that, what ends up happening is your fielders are in the game the whole time. So when a ball gets hit to them, they're ready. What you can't do is take forever between pitches and kind of walk around the mound and hold, come set, and then throw it, and then throw a ball. And then get the ball back and do the whole thing again. Your fielders get tired,
yeah,
like bored.
And everyone watching gets bored too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go the other way. I don't walk anywhere. I just, you know, wherever I release the ball from on the mound, I stand there, get the ball back, get set, throw again. Bam, 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 bam. So the game goes very quickly and, you know, I get hit around, that's for sure. I'm not suggesting I'm going to fool everybody, but keep the game moving. So anyway, that's the baseball update. So tomorrow's games will be big. I won't be pitching. Back to left field tomorrow.
Okay.
But you had a lot of baseball going on too.
Yeah, we had lots of baseball. So
we had the overlap. You're finishing up the spring league, starting the summer league.
Yeah. So spring league ended. We didn't end up winning the championship. We were probably the favorite going in. Lost in extra innings in the semifinal, which was an extraordinarily exciting game. So that was fun. Jack did really well, had some big clutch hits, so that was exciting. And then immediately as spring finished, then summer began, so he's playing on an 11U team where he's the only 10-year-old, so it's really a step up in caliber. So it's a really, really strong team that he's playing for, so mm-hmm. he's really excited to be playing with the players that he's playing. There's just top to bottom, it's a very strong team, so they're going to be a powerhouse in the province for baseball in the province of BC. So it's really fun and exciting. I've not seen baseball played at this level at this age before, so it's fun. Last night, we had the opportunity to play in an exhibition game against a 12-year-old team that represented Canada last year's Little League World Series. So any Americans listening know what we're talking about when we talk about the Little League World Series. It's a big deal. So we played the representative from Canada, the team last year. And so these kids are all 12 and our team is 11U.
But these would be new kids though, right?
Like new kids. But this is a recruiting organization. They've been many times. They might not be the representatives this year, but they are always strong because every year they go to recruit to bring in kids from all over the area so that they can hopefully qualify for the World Series each year. So they've done it a bunch of times. The team we're playing is very strong. We haven't seen competition like that. And so we expected to get crushed and we did not. It was we lost 8-4. It was a close game. We were tied, you know, halfway through the game. Our kids played very well. We're not intimidated at all. Granted, we didn't tell them that these kids were all 12 until after the game. Right. Yeah, the shortstop had a full mustache. So, and the difference too is I mean, there's slight different rules in Little League versus what we play, which is BC minor baseball. But the team we are playing, like we're playing for development. Like kids play a couple positions. I'm not going to say it's equal playing time. I mean, you do definitely have certain positions you play in, but you know, Jack will play third base, first base, left or right field. Like, and then. And then, you know, some of the kids will be okay. They might play catcher. They might play, you know, two or three different positions and they'll rotate them around because they are trying to develop them. This team all set positions. They did not budge. The shortstop played the entire game at shortstop, first base at first base, right, and so on. And so it's a little bit of a different model. They're playing to win right now and we're playing to hopefully get better. But it was really fun to watch and to see our kids, you know, hit the ball around. The other team made no defensive mistakes and we made a couple. So that seemed to be the difference. We hit the ball as well as they did. But again, just defensively, you could see just that little bit of a step up with that extra year. But if you took our team and just aged them by 1 year, played that team, I think we would beat them. So,
sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, our crop of 11-year-olds is very, very strong. We turned a double play in the last inning that I think I uploaded the video for you so you could see it. It's just like, you will never see this in spring baseball. And seeing it at 11-year-olds is kind of just like, it's pretty. When you see a hard hit ground ball to second, kid tosses underhand to shortstop coming across and the shortstop just guns a strike to first base. And it's just like, yeah, those are 11-year-olds doing that. And it's not normal
at that age, no matter what. Like that's a tough to do because you guys play at 11, you must play 60-foot bases.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really, really hard to do.
And it's not like there was a slow kid. The kid that hit the ball at the plate was not a slow kid either. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you get a little bit older, you'll play 70-foot bases. And then I think you go up to 90, right? Like they don't play 80. I don't think.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure this was 60 though.
Yeah. So yeah, Little League, I believe is 60 and like, I forget what the mound is, like 40 feet.
I think it's 46 feet. Yeah.
46 feet. Yeah. So we play regular baseball, 90 foot bases, 60 foot, 6 inches to home plate from the rubber. So for those people who do not know about baseball.
Oh, and Jack, I mean, again, is, you know, 10 and playing against the 12-year-olds. I mean, I was more nervous for him than he was, but, he came up like he was batting near the bottom of the order. They bat a 12-man order on our team. That's just kind of you have to have a roster of 12. Sometimes you don't have 12 show ups. You bat whatever the order that you've got. So I think he was batting 10th out of 12 and came up to lead off the top of the third inning and just creamed a triple over the left fielder's head. Nice. And like kind of in the left center gap and got a triple. And then that started an inning. We were down, I think at the start of that inning, we were down 3-0. And then we scored 3 runs in that inning to tie the game. And so it was a really, really nice start. And he had he only got 2 at-bats, hit a hard ball that almost got up the middle. And the shortstop with the mustache made a great play, but he did score a run from third base on the ground ball. So had a triple, an RBI and a run scored. So a good outing for his first time, playing with kids of this caliber. Yeah.
That's how you stay, man.
Yeah. So anyways, it was fun. It was fun to watch because it really, really looks like baseball all of a sudden.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I just did video. So that's it. Yeah. I haven't done any photos. I took a photo for the photo challenge that we'll see in a second that was at the Ball Diamond just before our last game. And so that we'll talk about that in a second. But other than that, I just set up the video camera for the game last night behind home plate, like just behind the cage, and just let it roll. So I had one of the other dads just stopping and starting it in between innings, and that was it. But I love that video camera. It is just great. It's perfect for what I need. And again, it was $200, and if it gets smashed, I'll live with that.
Nice. So I shot a bunch of stuff this week actually, and wanted to start with actually a baseball related one because I'm gonna get it. I had a question. I had a artistic question about it. And I'm gonna put it to you.
Okay.
So I got the team photo. We snapped an impromptu team photo. Normally I like to get everybody posed, you know, in their clean uniforms during, you know, midweek, not on a game day. And I'll take that, you know, picture and light it and all that stuff. But we haven't had time to make that happen. And so we just snapped a quick impromptu one post game. So my wife came out and snapped it with, like, this is the 40D with the 30 mil lens. I wasn't prepped for this. It was kind of a, oh, hey, Alan, do you have a camera? Like, okay, I got my beater here. And so we snapped this. And so the other old guy on the team, who's basically, you can see me on the left, camera left.
What's the name of this image?
Team.jpg.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. I'm looking at it now, yeah.
Okay, so on far camera left, that's me there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so in front of me to my left, that's the other old guy. So he's like a year younger than me, and so he's the other one with a son out there.
Okay.
Anyway, so he asked me. He's like, he said, hey, you know, whenever you line up you take a team photo, you always line us up on the dirt. And I would have thought the grass would be more pleasing looking. Why do you do that? What do you think? And this photo, not the best, not the greatest lighting. It was actually kind of a strange light, kind of hazy, but not enough to be flat. The colors were a mess, but I always take the team photos on the red dirt, the cutout infield, instead of the grass.
What do you think? Yeah, I don't know that I really consciously think about this. It's more, for me, I'm looking at, you know, the background and the distance that I want to be from the subjects and where the light's coming from. So there's a bunch of other variables to me that come first versus dirt versus grass. I don't know that that is a big factor in my decision, but maybe it should
be. So right now the sun is setting behind. I mean, again, it's cloudy, so it's not direct sun, but it is later in the evening. Sun is setting behind the camera, which is why I shoot this direction. I mean, normally when I set up the shot, like I set up the team photos, we shoot at shortstop. This is second base. The second baseman plays, but you have no choice. You can't have like that horrible cross light coming across if you shoot impromptu like this. And so, yeah, I get everybody looking in towards the sun, so we're nice and evenly lit. But I don't pull everybody on the grass ahead because, like, what do you think of the background of this image?
It's fine. There's a lot of stuff going on.
It's not great. This is the best of a bad situation. Our park. Yeah. I've mentioned before, our park is visually terrible looking. Like it's a motorcycle going by. There's just such a mishmash. I find that there's zero character, like visually looking that I can really, you know, take advantage of. Like our stands aren't great looking, our concession stand isn't very good, which is off to the left, camera left. Outfield fence, not great. Like, it just, everywhere you look, there's something that's an eyesore. And so this is the best of a bad situation. However, the only thing that I can do to tie this in to make it look like baseball is to shoot on the red dirt. The red dirt actually looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest to play on, but it looks decent. And you can, you know, normally you can rake it. In this case, this is game used. Like, we rake it between games. But, so it's scuffed up, and our grass looks terrible. Like, we have dandelions. Like, it's not good at all. So generally, the only thing that looks good and says baseball is the red dirt.
Right. I gotcha. Yeah. So
that's why I shoot this. That's why I always use that as an element. I wish we had a cool outfield fence. I wish we had cool bleachers or something that just says, hey, or cool dugouts, which we do not. Our dugouts don't even match. There's two separate looking dugouts, which is uncool. Like, normally you'd like to kind of anchor, maybe you'd shoot just behind the mound into home plate and have the bleachers there and, you know, the part of the each dugout kind of framing the image. Well, you can't because they don't look the same.
Right. I have a little photography added discussion topic for you. Which I was talking about this with the coaches at our ball yesterday, and I was saying it would be fun if we actually did like a designated, maybe the last half hour of practice, kind of like action photo shoot with the kids where, mm-hmm. you know, I set up a few lights and then, you know, we basically, you know, toss balls like near the fence where they try to make a catch up against the fence or diving catches. And again, it's all set up and lit kind of at the end of practice when you know it's going to be a good time of day. But then I thought I'd mix in some off-camera lighting at the same time just to kind of give it a cool kind of look, right? Sure. So anyways, is that something that you've done? I've never seen you or talk about it as far as doing it with your team. Is that something you've done in the past or you would do or should do?
Nothing I've lit. We've shot stuff at Magic Hour where I've basically done a kind of fake action stuff where we were shooting baseball cards, trying to like make that 80s style baseball card where guys right. are like making plays. But even then, as you can see, like it just doesn't look right. Like at our park, it's 100% our park. When you go out and do it, it looks like you're setting it up.
Right.
Even if you're in tight, like it's really hard to do. And so hasn't been a thing. If we convince the government to buy us a new field, then the game on then, but we're a little ways off from that.
Okay.
All right. What else did I shoot? Oh, I shot a horse picture. A picture of my daughter. She's doing it, wants to do an invitation for her birthday party. And she said that she's really into horses. Big fan of horses. Horseback riding, does the trick riding, as you've seen, called Voltigieren in Germany. And this is her life. She just loves horseback riding. So much so that she loves there's a TV show here or a cartoon or whatever called BB and Tina.
Is Tina the horse?
No. The horses, they're friends, and their horses are Amadeus and Sabrina.
Oh, I thought the show was about a girl and her horse that they're really good friends.
No, they're good friends. I think she's a witch though too. I think it's BB Block. I'm assuming. I actually don't know. But there's a show called BB and Tina. And then there's one called BB Blocksberg, and BB Blocksberg is a witch, and I think it's the same BB, but I don't really know because I'm an adult.
Right. What if her horse turns out to be a unicorn?
It might be. It might be. And then they hex. That's what they say, because hex means hexa means witch.
Okay.
In German. So anyway, so for her invite photo, she wanted a picture with a horse.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, we went over to the stables and just kind of walked in, did not ask. And I put her riding stuff on and I got a horse in the background. But I was a little bit nervous because I thought horses don't like flash, do they?
I don't know. You should ask one. Like yeah,
I don't speak horse and they don't speak English or German. I don't know. It's terrible. But so anyway, so I was like, all right, well, we'll keep you far back from the horse. I'm not going to have you stand next to the horse. So I'll keep you the horse in the background. Kind of cool looking pole, and I'll put the flash on like 1/64th power in an umbrella just out of frame, just to kind of light your face. And hopefully that won't send the horses into berserker mode.
Right.
And we didn't. We dodged a bullet. It worked out just fine.
Okay. No, it looks good. I like the helmet.
Yeah. She's a big fan. Again, loves everything, all things horseback riding. So I don't know that I enjoyed shooting at the stables. It looks cool, but... You know, not the best situation. I have a wider shot where the horse, like this isn't the one I used for the invitation. I just thought this was a nicer smile, but the other one is like a full length one. So the horse is more in focus and more prominent in the picture.
Gotcha.
But this one, I liked your smile.
Yeah, it's a good shot. I like it.
All right. So one other thing I shot. Oh, I shot some headshots, some fake Hollywood headshots. So you want to look at a couple of those.
Yeah, I saw. It looks like he's voguing, the one guy, Matthias.
Yeah, Matzi. Yeah, so these guys came over. So like you'll see them again in my challenge photo in a couple minutes. And
Pedro, I think was the shortstop for the team we played. He looked just like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, his nickname is Pedro because he looks like Pedro Martinez.
Okay. Was he the shortstop for the Wally Little League team?
Yeah. Last week, yeah, he was. No, so his name is Pedro, which then will then tie into my challenge photo later. But anyways, they came over and to get their cover shot done, and I said, you know what, you guys got to do while you're here, and I recommend this at home. If anybody has just one off camera flash, you could probably do this on camera and bounce it too. But if you have an off camera flash, an umbrella, like a one light strobist setup, you're off to the races. I'm going to give you the best/worst/best birthday present you can give somebody.
Okay, I'm confused because there's a lot of bests and worsts, and
it's the best, the and math. Then it's the yeah. worst, and then it's like the best again.
Okay,
because here's the thing, and so like I think I may have mentioned this before on the show, but if not, trust me, do this. Go ahead and set something up and take a photo of yourself, like just this a really kind of, but you should know you should be in on the joke. Okay, don't do it too serious. You should go too far over the edge, like you're taking your own Hollywood headshots.
Okay.
Flip them to black and white. Do the white border. Put your name on the bottom in the font, like you see with, like, say, Matthias Schmidt. And you can get it printed out for a couple of bucks, Costco, whatever it costs. Like, not very expensive. You can put it into a cheap frame. You sign it. Get a Sharpie. You sign it to whoever's birthday it is. That's the present you give them. So I do this all the time. My picture's 10 years old, so I actually have to I have to retake it to be a little more up to date. But I would do it all the time, and you sign something terrible, like I would say, "Hey Adam, keep on trucking," and then sign my name.
Classic.
It except for so like what else am I going to get you? I'm not going to a bottle of wine. Like you got wine, you have stuff. Right. So one thing you don't have is a signed headshot from me.
Right, that's true. I don't have one of those.
Yeah, and so it automatically becomes the life of the party.
Okay.
Because it's like, first of all, what kind of a jackass gives somebody a picture of himself?
You do. Answer is you.
Oh, no, other people do this now. Okay. And so I said like you take a jackass bullet. That's what you do.
Right.
But if the picture is suitably cheesy enough, yet professionally done, has to look professional, but also be cheesy.
Right.
Then they know you're in on the joke and it's good times. If you just take a nice portrait, it's a little bit, doesn't work. You got to go for it.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So we shot Pedro's first. You can have a look at his. His is just a one lighter, one light in an umbrella with a white wall. I didn't even set up the background. I just went, here you go. And pulled him up from the background a little bit. So it kind of falls off a little bit gray. And had him do that look into the camera, and he loved it. He's I think this might be his Tinder profile. I don't know. No, I'm not even joking. I think both of them decided they're putting this on the Tinder.
And, yeah.
So then next up, Matsy was up next. So I went and got a black undershirt tank top. Said, here, you got to wear this, and was kind of showing him some funny goofy hand moves to do. And he thought this was the greatest. So this is about the sixth shot we took. It's the first one where he stopped laughing because he's howling the whole time. And I said, knock it off. So this one's two lights. As you can see, there's one light raking across the background.
Right.
Turning that maroon wall into a sort of a grayish black, white, you know, what you see.
Right.
So anyways, what they don't know is that tomorrow for Inside the Game Day magazine, for which I shot their cover, I printed these full page.
Nice.
So yeah, they're gonna have to sign some autographs tomorrow.
Yeah. They're pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have fun with this.
How many magazines do you get printed?
I don't actually know. I just tell them same as last time, and I don't know what last time was.
Okay. But a few hundred.
No.
A hundred?
Probably not. I would say it's probably around 50.
And they're just handed out at the game?
Yeah. They're very small. A magazine is a very, very generous name for it.
Right.
It's a small kind of pamphlet. It's like a four pages. Like, it's like, it's got eight pages basically folded together.
Gotcha.
So it's not a full magazine. I just call it that because it's online. It looks better.
Gotcha.
So that's why it's called. Yeah, I'm not going to call it, you know, the Spieltag. I forget what do I call it? Das Offizielle Pamphlet. The Tübingen Hawks. That doesn't sound good.
Right.
So with magazine and just for the Twitter. Mm-hmm. Or the, no, Instagram, I mean.
It's okay. No, I got you. So, it's, yeah.
Everybody at home, go ahead and snap a photo of yourself for this purpose. You will not be disappointed.
Okay. I like
at
it.
At the response.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get, oh, I should, a reminder, our monthly challenge for June is Black and White Summer. And put that on Instagram, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Hey Hosers, and we'll check that out. Talk about that. Not next episode, one after. All right. Photo challenge. I admit that I knew I had a magazine cover coming up. And so that was the challenge this week, was magazine cover, because I had no time for anything else at all. This one took a lot. So
right.
You can go first or second, up to you.
I'll go first.
All right, let's have a look at yours.
Yours, mine was basically the suggestion you made last time, which was you're going to be at the ball field, shoot a Sports Illustrated cover. So that's what I did.
Yeah, but it looks really good though. I mean, for the most part, but stuff out of your control, like the house with the scaffolding in the background, but that's not really up to you, is it?
No, this is also done at 11 a.m. So I had to bring a lot of lights because this is not a good time to do this, but I just knew we had a game at 12:15 or something like this. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get a couple of the kids to come a little bit early and then I'll set up some lights. And I brought the big studio strobe because I knew I was going to need a lot of power, and I knew where I was going to set it up. I could use plug-in power. So we're kind of at our home ballpark, and there's a concession right behind me. So the kids are standing at home plate. I don't know if you can exactly make that out, but you can see the batter's box where they're standing. Sure. So right behind me.
You see the little cutout of the mound behind.
Yeah. So there's a concession right behind me, and it's got plug-in power. So I brought an extension cord so I could plug it in at the concession and then use the studio strobe with the giant softbox so I could get enough power but still keep the light relatively soft. And then the sun is kind of, you know, pretty much straight overhead but a little bit camera right. And then I'm just trying to balance that with some flashes. So I think in this photo, you've got the big studio strobe and then at least two other flashes going to try to keep the shade off of their faces from the ball caps, because you got all that sun coming in and then it casts big shadows on their faces. So then I'm trying to more or less make the shadows much, much lighter. So that's where you get all this extra light necessary.
Buddy? Sam? Okay.
And the pose was more
sorry,
or less...
Sorry, my wife's out of the house and my son's yelling. He's fine.
Okay. All right. We were worried for a second.
I'm not cutting. That stays in.
The photo is more or less stolen from or borrowed from a pose that I saw of a Sports Illustrated magazine. I think it was a 2016. No, it was for the Cubs. And we're supposed to have one more kid. And the fourth person is sitting on a ball bucket kind of in front. To the right, like just in front of the kid on the far right.
Right.
So that was going to be the four. So we did the pose just with the three, but I was hoping for that fourth because it really did look cool and balanced with another kid in there sitting on the ball bucket. But it
would also block out his belt. That's kind of tattery.
Yes. It would have done that as well, but it just kind of looked like a cool pose. And so I do like the two bats and the glove and the arm on the shoulder. So this was all borrowed from the Sports Illustrated magazine cover that I saw.
Which I have also done. I've borrowed from different magazine covers as well. So that's nothing wrong with that. No, this is really great. Again, my only two criticisms are, why does that guy have to get his house fixed right now? You know, I mean, you could Photoshop, but why would you? Like this is essentially in camera, right?
Yeah. This is all in camera. I didn't do anything. I made kind of the background first, kind of what I thought I was going to use. And then I just kind of slid the photo in. And then I just kind of Photoshopped the edges of the Sports Illustrated lettering so that I could bring the picture in front of it.
Oh,
you know, that's like, what you... Yeah. So I had the whole thing layered, and then I brought the the picture in, but then I had to kind of cut out their heads and their bats to make sure that they lay on top of.
Right. Okay. I was gonna say you. I thought you said you cut out the lettering.
No. Sorry. No.
Yeah, that's a mistake because I was gonna ask about that. How you let that happen? Because I love this effect. Like you see I use it all the time. I use it this week. I love having part of the image lay over top of the title of the magazine.
Right.
Now it's been done to death out there, like Vanity Fair and all the big ones, Sports Illustrated, for example. Everybody does it, and that's where I got it from. But I happen to love it. It really adds pop.
I agree.
And so, but like for mine, when we get to mine, like mine is a composite. We can in a sec, but mine was a composite as it was, so I have to cut those guys out regardless. But it's still a two-step process because. So what do you do when you say you cut it out? What do? You cut them out entirely, or you just cut out the part
just the part where that. So I basically have it laid down, and then in my layers in Photoshop, I'm just taking the eraser tool and just erasing the part of the letters that overlaps with their hats and their bats.
Okay, so you don't cut them out.
So I didn't cut them out at all. This took me very little time.
So you're essentially erasing the font.
Yes, just the part that overlaps with them. Okay. So I just zoom in and then I just kind of, basically erase it, and then they're the other layer comes through and that's it.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's sort of the opposite of what I do. I end up going like what I would do in this case, just in case you want to change things or whatever. Is I would go in and basically duplicate the layer of the kids, and basically go in and crop it, like just delete everything from below their eyes and below. I just delete that. So all we have now is the three guys across, and I would go quickly just cut each guy out, and you'd have a layer with just a hint from the eyes to the top of the hat and three guys' heads and none of the other background, just laying over top.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
And that way, it's like all of a sudden you want to use it for something else. You want to call it Sport Magazine or whatever, Baseball Illustrated, or change something. You don't have to then cut it out again.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned that the hard way one time. So then I never did that again. But no, other than that, it looks great. I mean, the fact that you could do this in camera without having to composite, that's awesome. Like that definitely speeds things up. And it looks real. I mean, this looks like a real magazine cover.
Thank you. I could have
had a price. You could have thrown the price.
I know. I thought about a couple other little things, and I'm like, no.
A little UPC symbol on the bottom left for the scanning and the price in Canada. But that's if you really want to go nuts. But I mean, what did the kids think? They thought this was awesome, or they didn't care?
They liked it. I mean, my son liked it. I don't know what the other kids, because I just texted it to their parents, but the other dads really liked it as well. So yeah, everyone liked it. And
Used to cost $30 at Knott's Berry Farm in the 80s.
Right. And I think we're going to do something for our summer team. So all three of these guys are the three players that are playing from our spring team on our summer team. So I was kind of did it to sort of also show the summer team coach of like, hey, we can do something like this. Mm-hmm. And everyone's pretty jazzed about it, because they haven't seen this sort of thing for free before.
Yeah. Okay. My only warning to you is if you do a good job of this, you have to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your reward true. Is more work.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't mind. I really did enjoy this. And this is, again, it was a fun sort of thing for me to play around with.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Let's have a look at this week's Spieltag. Das offizielle Magazin der Tübingen Hawks aus Gabe 5. 22. Juni 2019. The New Boys.
It's really good. I like it. I looked up the actual image from the movie just to check the authenticity, and very authentic.
I forgot his watch.
Oh,
I didn't catch that.
I don't think in the movie they were holding a photo of Nuke Braden. I saw
I'm
that.
Glad you noticed that.
I was like, that's the Nuke Braden magazine that he's holding. So kind of makes the guy playing Napoleon a little bit stranger.
I wanted to have a little bit of a callback built into it.
Yeah,
because he's holding something else. I don't know what he's holding in the original,
It just, I think it's might like it. I was trying to look at it too, and it just, it looks like just like a piece of paper. I'm thinking maybe it's a flyer for that's for the campaign.
Yeah, it is. But it, I thought, you know what? No, I want to have a little callback to the cover from the week, couple weeks ago. And the controversial one, which is kind of funny. Turns out there's a little controversy I hadn't heard about.
Oh, can I just make my one critique of your photo?
Yes.
Because this is really good. But the whatchamacallit, the thing that Pedro's...
The bolo tie.
Oh my gosh, it's horrible.
You can't find them in Germany, man.
Yeah, so that's just pulled from the internet, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
That's not real. Like that looks like it's just a sticker that's stuck on.
Yeah, I think you have a little bit more of a discerning eye for it. Like most people don't notice. I could have spent a little more time. Like it's legit. It's actually a bolo tie, a photo of an actual bolo tie.
I know, but it just
No, it's true. It's actually a photo of two separate bolo ties. I couldn't find a decent bolo tie that actually showed the whole thing. So the way it hangs on his shirt is terrible.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what can I do? And I was running out of time. Long story short, I got to send this off to the printers. And yesterday was a holiday, so I had to have it done the day before. And like I said, we got three home games in a week, and that's three covers I got to do. I'm not happy. You hit the nail on the head. There's three things that I hate about this image. One thing is the bolo tie. I wish we had one. I went to the flea market looking for them. You cannot get a bolo tie here. They don't exist.
Amazon.
Yeah, but at that point I was like, all right, do I drop 20 euros on a bolo tie so Adam is happy?
Yes. Or
no?
The answer is yes.
I'm not going to. Okay. The answer is no, because I dropped €20 on the Vote for Pedro shirt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so my one of my real, like looking back on it, if I were to do it again, which I'm not. This show is about nitpicking. I mean, everyone else can see the image and like it or not, but I'm gonna let you behind the curtain on this.
Okay.
My one rub is that I didn't wrinkle the shirt up a little bit more on him because it looks like it could be a decent Photoshop job.
Yeah, agreed. I was actually thinking, I'm like, is that real or not real? But
no,
then
it's real.
Yeah,
I bought it.
Yeah, and then I kind of decided it was real. Otherwise, you spent a ton of time on the lettering and just the shadows and whatnot. Because I compare that to the work done to make the bolo tie look authentic on the other guy's shirt. And I'm like, no, that shirt's real. The Vote for Shirt Pedro is real and the other one is fake.
Yeah, it is. But it should have more wrinkles. And then the third thing is I absolutely should have had a wristwatch on the guy, like a digital watch.
I missed that entirely. And I referenced the original image. So,
yeah. Well, see, what do you think? I mean, I couldn't match the shirt, Pedro's shirt, exactly either. So that was another issue. We had a bunch of options. We went around. I went to the flea market looking for something reasonable, but there's no Western sort of style shirts here in
Germany. The shirt's good.
The shirt, I'm getting to something very important. The shirt, like in the original image, the shirt is blue, right? Like,
yeah,
he wears a blue shirt.
Yeah.
That shirt is white.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I made that blue in Photoshop.
Well, that looks very legit. I would not have known that.
There's some tricks, it turns out, that you can do. And so I basically went online and watched a tutorial. Very good tutorial on how to change colors of things, and I'd have to watch the tutorial again, but it's pretty great. Like I was surprised at how good of a job it can do.
Oh yeah, there's no way you can tell that.
Yeah. So other than that, so we are referring to the movie Napoleon Dynamite, which I'm actually surprised that this cover is getting as much traction in Germany as it is. Like people think it's funny and they actually get it.
Do they know the movie?
Some people do, and others kind of know of the movie.
Okay.
Apparently. And again, I expected, like, last week we did Lucky Luke, or Take Off on Lucky Luke, which worked out for Luca because he hit a massive home run yesterday. Like one of the biggest ones. Like, our park is big, and he went deep, deep, deep to almost center field. But, yeah, anyway, so we did Lucky Luke, and which is a very, very German theme. And so they actually published it in the newspaper. And then they asked again, they wanted to, what's this week going to be? Can you send it off? And maybe they'll put it in the newspaper. And they did not. I guess that was too confusing to them.
Right.
So I understood that. I did not think it would happen. But it's getting some, you know, recognition on Instagram and whatnot and stuff like that. But and the one last little reference, it was going to say the new guys, because these guys are both new to the team this year. That's kind of the point.
Okay.
Is they came over from other teams last year and came to our team. And so that they are looking to make their mark, and they are both making their mark. That's for sure. So it was supposed to be the new guys. I went with the new boys. Can you figure any reason why? New boys instead of the new guys?
No.
Total reference to Slapshot.
Oh, really?
Where are the new boys?
Oh, I didn't get it.
Yeah, so that's okay. Very subtle. Joke's funny for about 2.5 people. One of them is Paul Newman, and I think he's dead. So
okay.
Yeah. I tagged him in this anyway, just in case. I don't know how it works.
You never know. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. And again, use the title behind the head trick, just like you.
Nice. No, it looks good. I really like it. I knew the reference immediately. I've only seen the movie once. I did like the movie,
yeah.
But right away I was like, that's good. And now I have to reference the actual image to see how close it was. So that's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's what other people did. And I think the guy who runs our Instagram account posted the original as well in one of the stories or something like that for comparison.
Cool.
All right. Topic this week. We have a couple minutes left, so we're going to be quick.
Okay.
We're just going to be quick, and we're going to talk about what do I call it? Oh, being in the ready position, being ready to take a photo when something happens and you're not expecting it.
Okay, tell us how to do that.
Well, tell us how, but I'll tell you why. First of all, went to the pool the other day. My wife and I took the kids to the Freibad. That means outdoor pool, as you'll see by the images. It's where I swim every day. So in behind, you can see that's the lane I swim in every day. And my son likes to go off the one meter diving board.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do so, you have to be a swimmer. Like this is very, very deep. I forget how many meters deep this goes. But last year, so the beginning of last season, I think he was still in water wings. Might have been the year before. I forget now. And so he was jumping off the 1 meter board with water wings, and I would be in the water making sure to catch him in case one of the water wings popped off, which is the fear, right?
Right.
But the lifeguard did not like that. He said, no, you have to be a swimmer, no mas. And so I said, so Sam was pretty upset, and then he just basically decided, okay, well, that's it. I guess I'm learning to swim because I'm not putting up with this crap.
Right.
So he quickly learned to swim, and that was it. So now he's jumping off. He likes to do the cannonballs. So the other day, a couple days ago, we're at the pool, and I happened to bring my camera just in case I was going to get a challenge photo for Black and White Summer, which I didn't. And sure enough, he does a couple of routine cannonballs I don't bother to shoot. And then the third time, I'm going to shoot his cannonball. So I'm standing off the side, 40D, 30mm lens, got it on motor drive, and boom, I fired off. And just in the middle of a cannonball, he just changes his mind on the way out and says, "Now I'm doing a flip." Just improvised a flip, and nice. Bam, there he goes. So that was his flip. So I shot a series. I posted 6 images of him doing his flip for no reason. And afterwards, my wife asked him, she said, "How did you know how to do that?" "I just tried it."
Nice.
That was it.
It looks pretty cool. And it looks like no fear, but that's for sure.
I'd like him to have a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
So my two favorite images of this is the second image when you can see him turning over in air. I don't know how he knows how to hold his arms. Like,
yeah,
he looks like Spider-Man there for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah, it's good form.
And then the last image when it looks like he's got his hand resting on the water.
Yeah, yeah, also cool. It looks like he's a gymnast, like doing the pommel horse.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So. Anyway, he did a couple more flips, and then the next day, he just, I said, "Hey, do you want to try the 3-meter board in behind there?" And he said, "Yeah, let's do that." So sure enough, just climbed up without hesitation, jumped feet first off the 3-meter board. So I was very proud of him.
That's good. Yeah.
5 years old, I was pretty jazzed that he could do that.
Yeah.
But the point is, how do you get ready? How are you make yourself ready for a situation like this?
You have your camera?
Now, step one is have your camera ready, but do you know, how do you avoid fumbling around with it?
Know your camera inside and out, and leave it on settings that are going to be good in almost any situation.
That is the best tip. Those are the greatest two tips, I think. Tip one is get your muscle memory dialed in. You do not want to be fumbling around. And this goes back to your last week's wedding. When are you ready for a wedding? How's your muscle memory? Do you know, like for our cameras, for example, we have the click wheel in the back that changes the aperture, right?
Yeah.
Like in manual mode, I'm sorry, in AV mode, it doesn't. It changes the exposure compensation. But in manual mode, it changes the aperture. So you have to know that, A, that it changes the aperture, B, which direction does what, and how many clicks it takes, et cetera, et cetera. So your muscle memory had better be top-notch. And then on the top is the controls to shutter speed. So you better be able to dial that in quickly without even looking. You should be able to dial that in. And so in a situation like this, when I grab the camera out of the bag, I don't just grab the camera and walk over. First of all, at my house, before I throw the camera into the swim bag, I set it to something I think I'm going to use at the pool.
Right.
Meaning, where do you start? What's the first setting you start? You grab your 40D with a 30mm lens. What's the first setting you dial in?
Probably ISO.
ISO. Always start with the ISO. Now, it's very sunny, so you're looking at an ISO of 100. Except, you want to stop this action. So you're going to go ahead and do what I do, probably, and say, you know what, 320 is your best friend on the ISO 320 or 400 if you want. But I happen to like 320. I dial it in at 320, and that's it. Next move, I think, okay, where am I likely to shoot? If I take this, why am I taking it? I'm probably going to shoot some stuff on the diving board, whatever that may be. I didn't know it would be a flip. So what's my f-stop going to be? What's an ideal f-stop for a situation like this?
I'd probably say anywhere from 5.6 to 8.
Yep, 5.6 is again, at 30 mils, 5.6 is perfect. Now, it doesn't blur the background tremendously, which is okay because you kind of want some context. Four, you're risking, you'll get a little more background blur, but you're risking blurring your subject if he moves it. You know, so 5.6 is a nice mix. So I know, so that's the next step. I set it to 5.6. Now, my next guess, I will guess, okay, sunny day, what's that going to be for shutter? That's probably going to be around 1/800th of a second. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. I can fix that on the fly. The other thing is white balance too, but I just leave it on daylight and shoot raw and tweak it later, which is tough to do because the pool makes everything blue. It's kind of a trade-off. So now I have my camera set before I even leave the house. It goes in the bag. I grab it. I walk over. As I'm walking over, I'm adjusting the shutter speed to get the exposure I want.
Right.
Before anything happens. And I just sit there. That's it. It's on burst mode because I know I'm going to be shooting a bunch of stuff at the pool. I'm not going to be shooting flash. So burst is the way to go no matter what I'm shooting. So everything is set. I don't have to fumble around. So all of a sudden I see my son coming up doing the cannonball. Bam, I can shoot. I think that's it. I honestly don't know what else I could tell you to make you be ready.
No, I think that you pretty much covered all the key bits. And that goes for anything, whether it's the pool or a wedding or a baseball game. I do the exact same thing. I kind of have an idea before I even take the camera out of the bag at home where I want to be. And then before I take the first photo, I pull that camera out and then I make those little micro adjustments. But I'm there so quickly that if something were to happen all of a sudden, I'm going to be in the ballpark that I can, you know, at least get close and then have a workable image that I could save if need be in Photoshop or Lightroom afterwards. So I'm not going to be so far gone that it's just blown out. And I think, oh man, I totally missed that opportunity. So I think that's kind of the key is that you need to be in the ballpark that if you just have to grab that camera quickly and take a shot that at least you're going to have a workable image.
Two things I should have added, two and a half things is one, I also check the battery before I leave the house to make sure I have at least 3/4 of a charge.
Yep.
Second of all, do you have a card in the camera, I've seen people do?
Yeah, that's a big one. And I've forgotten a card before. So I learned that lesson the hard way. Yeah.
So I will always snap just a quick test photo of my feet before I leave the house and go, oh yeah, okay, quick, yeah. Not only is the card there, it's formatted. Good. We're good to go here. It's going to take an image. And then last, obviously, just quickly check to make sure you're, when you grab your camera, that you do not have a lens cap on it. You'll see it when you bring your camera to your eye, but by then it might be too late. So make sure that's not there. And other than that, if you set any other settings like your focus distance or manual focus, which you should probably just leave, make sure those are on before you leave the house.
And that's right. It. Yeah, no, that's all. Those are all good tips.
And after that, you'll never miss a shot. And I'm glad I didn't. I mean, like I said, I was going to shoot this anyway. I thought I was shooting a cannonball. But even then, the fact that I was ready for it, I was so thrilled just to be able to catch him do this, doing this. And he saw the pictures after, and his only question was, that's great, Dad, but where's the video?
Yeah, it is funny.
All right.
They do spoiled. They do prefer video over stills, for sure.
Yeah, so there you go. That's how to be in the ready position. All right, monthly challenge for June is Black and White Summer, which I was actually going to turn this into a black and white image and just call it that, but I think I'll shoot a different one. I have something else in mind. Okay. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on Instagram or hashtag Hey Hosers, and we'll check that out. Challenge for next week. This one's yours, so why don't you go ahead and say it?
Rule of thirds.
Duh!
Yeah, could be anything. You just take it from there. I like them wide open.
Okay, it has to be wide open. You said
no rule of thirds.
Oh, okay, rule of thirds.
Yes.
All right. Even though we've talked about it as the suggestion of thirds, I'm going to shoot it as the rule.
Okay.
All right. Websites. Where can people go to find your stuff?
As always, adamschwartz.ca.
You'd find mine at alanatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.